and seconded to accept staff's recommendation on the amendments to the Alliance Teacher Refi Loan Program Manual. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Denise. All right. Now I would entertain a motion to move into executive session.
So moved, Andrew.
Thank you. Andrew, is there a second?
Peter, could you just mention the two subject matters for the executive session?
The Kobauer release and the notice from UAS. And
thank you.
And in addition to CHESLA board members, I'd like to invite Jeanette Weldon, Denise Aguilera, Charles Bodie, and Josh Herlock to attend the executive session. Denise, we need a vote to move into executive session, correct?
Yes.
Is there a motion to move into executive session?
Bettina, so moved.
Thank you, Bettina. Is there a second?
Second, okay. Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. So the motion is made and seconded to move into executive session to discuss the Kobauer release and the notice from UAS. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. We're in executive session. You should have a message on your screen to join the breakout room. Okay, thank you for that, Denise. All right, we are out of executive session for the record. No votes were taken. The next agenda item is a resolution to amend the in-school program manual regarding Kobauer release.
I'll move that.
Thank you, Marty. Is there a second?
Second, Andrew.
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you, Andrew. We've got a second. It's been moved and seconded to adopt staff's recommendation, the resolution amending the in-school program manual regarding Kobauer release. Are there any questions or comments? Discussion? All right, hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. Appreciate it. Denise, thank you very much. We work on that. Carly, quarterly financials?
Yes, thank you. Okay, on page 49, next page, please. I'm sorry, 59. The agency's income statement. For the 3 months ending September 30th, 2023, revenues over expenses before non-operating income and expenses were $30,909, and revenues over expenses after non-operating income and expenses were $37,488. Total year-to-date revenues were $3,824 under budget, and total year-to-date expenses were $16,806 under budget. On the next page, so page 60, there's a line under salaries that is titled discretionary awards. I just wanted to mention that the $7,426 was the one-time 3% payment to staff based on their fiscal 2023 salaries. Any questions?
Yeah, I had a question on page 60, the telephone and internet expense. You had it in the budget for $6,000. We only spent two. But last year, we only spent a couple of hundred. Why did you have it in the budget for six, and why did we spend two? Well, in the private year, we only spent a couple of hundred dollars.
I can double check, but some of that might have to do with our move to the new building. And I can double check specifics on that for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So if there's no other questions regarding the agency, if we can move on to page 64, please, Kara. Thank you. So now we'll take a look at the 2019 resolution. The total change in that position was an increase of $17,786. And I just wanted to make a quick note that in a few weeks, we're going to review the revenue funds within the 2019 resolution and see if there's any excess revenue funds that we can redeem additional bonds for. Questions regarding the 2019 bond funds?
Nope.
All right, moving on to the other program. So page 67, please. Thank you. Total change in net position for the scholarship fund for this quarter was an increase of $2,386. Total change in net position for the refi, non-bond refi program was $49,816. Total change in net position for the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program was an increase of $3,913. And then lastly, the total change in net position for the in-school non-trust was an increase of $1,829.
I had a question. Does this mean that on Refi Connecticut, we have 9 million or 9.8 million ready to use? And for the Alliance District, we have roughly $7 million to use?
Are you on page 64?
67.
Oh, sorry.
The bottom line on 67.
The net position, Carly.
No, let's see. The amount that we can loan out is actually the loan funds, which are on page 65. So for the refi CT, and this is as of September 30, we had just over $2 million on the loan fund that we could loan out.
Where is that on 65? Again, it says total assets at the bottom, and it shows 9.7 million for refi.
About a third of the way up the page, there's a line item that says loan fund.
I see.
Yeah, and that's what we had currently at the end of September 30 that we could loan out. And then next to that is the 6.3 million for the Alliance District program.
So tell me what accounting principle for the refi ends up with total assets. Oh, maybe that includes the loans that are outstanding?
Yes, it does.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. That's all I have, unless there's any other questions.
Any other questions for Carly? Great. Thank you very much, Carly. Okay. Jeanette, Executive Director's report.
Yeah, so wanted to start by making sure everyone is aware. We've made references to moving during the course of this meeting, but we will be relocating to the Gold Building, which is in downtown Hartford. The space, this is a lease negotiated, you know, by CHIFA, but, you know, Chesla will be moving along with CHIFA. So the lease has been fully executed. And the move date is February 1st. And so we are in the process of working with the architect to get the space built out, et cetera. Just as background, our lease in this building had an expiration date of December 31st. We will be staying here for an additional month and just paying 1 month's worth of rent here for the month of January.
I know there was great parking where you are now. Where do you park by the Gold Building?
They have a garage. They have an in-building garage or next to the building garage. So it does include parking for all staff. And then there's also ample parking for functions and meetings like board meetings.
As I recall, they also have a heliport on the top of the building.
It's possible. We didn't take a tour of that, but I wouldn't be surprised. Then also wanted to mention last Thursday, we had Chesla hosted a great event. It was an outreach program for school guidance counselors. It was a joint effort by Julie Savino as the president of CAPFA, And then also Jen Widnes, who's the executive director of CCIC. And then, of course, Josh put in quite a bit of work on it on Chesla's behalf. So, Josh, do you want to just add some color commentary to the agenda and the speakers, et cetera?
Yeah, thanks, Jeanette. So the event had about 70 attendees total, including speakers and panelists. Of those attendees, about 55 of those were counselors that attended in person. We also had another 15 or so counselors that registered for the event, but could not attend in person, and they'll receive the recording this week. The agenda included a FAFSA simplification presentation by a distinguished member of NASFA, the National Financial Aid Organization. We then had a FAFSA completion initiatives presentation by New Haven Promise, and there were two presenters with that. We then had a Q&A panel with financial aid administrators and admissions counselors with representing colleges throughout the state. Those schools were University of St. Joseph, Central Connecticut, UConn, Sacred Heart, and Connecticut Community College. And then the event concluded with a panel discussion surrounded around financing higher education with state aid. And the panelists were the Office of Higher Education, Connecticut State Community College, and then Shannon was on the panel representing Chesla. So we were very happy with the event and the turnout. I think we pulled it together in probably 3 weeks. So very happy with the results.
Yes, it was heroic effort on the part of Josh to get everything in place. So it worked out extremely well.
Where was it held?
It was held actually across the hall from us in a meeting room that is owned by Hartford Foundation for Public Giving. But it's a very well-appointed, well-equipped space. And so I think the event was very well received.
Thank you.
I'd just like to add my thanks to Josh and to Jeanette for being able to pull this together during this period of time where we're working with FAFSA simplification and some upheaval in the financial aid process. These school counselors have kind of been somewhat neglected with some information. So this was really, really very well done. And I have to thank Josh and Jeanette for being able to work with us to put it aside. And I thought it was very well attended. I think the guidance counselors on their way out were very thankful for us providing them that information, which is so much needed for them at this time. So my thanks again for being able to do this for us.
Thanks, Julie. And then also wanted to mention some of you, I know Dan Gingy sent out to everyone an op-ed that was published in the Connecticut Post. And it was on Chesla's cost-effective education finance programs. And this was an op-ed that Dan actually developed in response to a research brief that was published by the Education Finance Council, which is Chesla's trade association. And so they're doing a series of research briefs to sort of prompt this kind of press and additional coverage. So that was sent out to you, I believe, last week. And I also wanted to turn to Dan to speak to some of the Chesla-related items that we're expecting to include in our legislative agenda. So, Dan, do you want to share those?
Thanks, Jeanette. So to begin, I want to just touch on a handful of items from the 2023 legislative session that really kind of set the stage for our approach to the 2024 legislative session. So as a number of you may remember, in this most recent session, there were three loan subsidy proposals that passed, and they were contained in two different pieces of legislation. The first piece of legislation was Public Act 2360, and this legislation required CHESLA to establish a nursing and mental health care professional loan subsidy program. The remainder of the loan subsidy programs were included in Public Act 2370. This bill did a number of things. First, it expanded the current CHESLA Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program to include paraeducators and school counselors. It also required CHESLA to establish a similar loan subsidy program for police officers. And it then also modified the program established by 2360 to include EMS professionals. So one important note about funding with respect to these programs is with the exception of the expansion of the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program to include paraeducators as well as school counselors, the remaining programs that were passed last session have not had any designated funding allocated or authorized to support them. However, with respect to the expansion of the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program, we have received a verbal confirmation from OPM that we can use the bond authorization dollars, the dollars that have been authorized, excuse me, previously, to initially support the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program for the expanded professions that are now eligible to participate in the loan subsidy program. So now moving forward to the 2024 legislative session, Kara, if you don't mind, thank you. A key piece of legislation that CHESLA will be pursuing in the upcoming session involves creating a single program that will act as kind of a mechanism to really aggregate all of those individual loan subsidy programs. It will make it much easier to administer. We've had preliminary discussions regarding this proposal with the governor's office and the Office of Workforce Strategy, but there's still a number of more in-depth conversations that we need to have with them. And once this proposal is finalized internally, we'll begin the process of reaching out to legislators during the 2024 legislative session. Another item that CHESLA will be pursuing in the upcoming legislative session has to do with lowering the age for borrowers who are allowed to take out CHESLA loans to the age of 18. And this change will really bring CHESLA in line more with its counterparts in other states as well as the federal government.
So it's lowering the age to be, you can be under 18 and still apply for a CHESLA loan. And Josh, do you want to comment just on what the feedback is that you've received?
Yeah, the thought there is that, so the age of majority in Connecticut's 18. We have some families with students that come to us who are 17. And because the students, the borrower, are on our loan, we're then unable to give them a loan for their freshman year. What happens is the family could then go to another lender, and you're potentially losing that family for the remaining 3 years. The federal government allows students to receive loans when they're under the age of 18, because you can be a freshman under the age of 18. So we're trying to kind of mirror the federal government there and some other state programs.
So, Marty Budd, Dan said reducing it to 18 is our proposal, or just reducing it below 18 is our proposal?
Yeah, I think Dan meant to say under the age of 18.
Right.
Good. I had another question maybe for Dan or you. I noticed on your report, Josh, of where it's being used, that Bridgeport doesn't have an Alliance District use. It's hard for me to believe it's the poorest large city in the state. Is Bridgeport excluded from the Alliance Districts?
They're not excluded, but what page are you looking at?
I was looking at your report on page 81. It has...
So the one thing I would mention there, Marty, on page 81 is keep in mind this ADTOS data is just strictly for that quarter. July 2023 through September. So we did not have any Bridgeport loans for that quarter. If you give me a second, I can take a look here. I believe we've had a few loans for the Bridgeport district
in previous quarters.
Yeah, we've had one loan for Bridgeport in a previous quarter.
So they're not excluded. And again, it goes back to, you know, our ongoing outreach efforts to build awareness of the program, and also working with the State Department of Education to try to engage them as much as possible in building awareness of the program. And so that's been a little more challenging than what we had anticipated, but it's an ongoing effort.
Well, I would ask you to spend a little more time with the Bridgeport authorities, because that's the largest city in the state. It's poor, and we ought to try and make sure that the teachers and counselors there are aware of this program.
Yes, we are working. We have ongoing efforts, and also communications with SDE, their talent officers at the district level, to and also working through the teachers union to try to make sure that all teachers are aware. But we will certainly be continuing those efforts, and we can give special attention to Bridgeport.
Thank you.
So Dan, I think that concludes Dan's report on the legislative proposals, and that also concludes my report. So we can move on unless there are any other questions.
Okay, Josh, portfolio update.
Okay, thanks, Peter. So we're going to start on page 72, the in-school program loan disbursement data. So for the first quarter, the in-school program disbursed $9.6 million, which is the highest first quarter since fiscal 2020. I would also like to note, it was an oversight on my part. The chart at the bottom of the page, the fiscal years are just inaccurate. The fiscal years represented in the chart from left to right are fiscal 20 through fiscal 24. Moving on, I'd like to move to page 74 of the board packet, the market segment data for the schools. Just wanted to mention that pretty much status quo at the top, with our top three schools being UConn, Quinnipiac, and Sacred Heart. I would also just like to reference the comparison in the far right column that compares each school's loan volume year over year through quarter one. Moving on, I'd like to move to page 75, which is the 2023B comparison to cash flow assumptions. As a reminder, the gross actual disbursements below include 2022 non-trust disbursements at a 5.49% rate that were committed prior to the 23B bond deal closing on May 16th. And then as of May 16th, with that bond deal closing, all 2022 non-trust loans are part of the trust, and the revenue flows to 2023B. So the gross actual disbursements below include both 2022 non-trust disbursements and 2023B disbursements at the current 6.35% rate. So through October, the comparison to the cash flow assumptions were pretty much right on target. We are $33,000 ahead of the cash flow assumptions through October. And we have committed loan applications in the pipeline totaling $8.6 million. And I do notice a typo on the committed loan applications. Those committed loan applications were as of November 3rd. Are there any questions on the comparison? Okay, hearing none, I'll turn to page 76, the loan disbursement data for Refi CT. For the first quarter, Refi CT disbursed about $438,000. I would just say that that quarter one for Refi, as you can see, typically fluctuates depending on the year. And in total, Refi CT, since the existence in 2016, has disbursed about $20.7 million. And then the last thing I wanted to mention, pages 83 through 85, we have the performance dashboard. I just wanted to mention that both UAS as the loan servicer and Campus Store as the loan originator met all performance standards for the quarter. So that's the end of my report. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Josh? Josh, very good report. You hit the highlights and brought our attention to the key metrics. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate it.
All right. Shannon?
Hello, everybody. So I'm just going to go over basically marketing and website traffic. So for the Chesla website, obviously the continued goal overall is to basically build awareness for the Chesla programs and resources that we offer. So for our Q1, July 1st to the September 30th, we saw 17,000 new visitors to the Chesla website, which is a 32% increase from the year prior. Over 49,000 page views, again, another increase of over 30%. And the top pages visited were Chesla, the homepage, the Alliance District page, and the scholarship page. And then the top online traffic visits to the site came from email marketing with over 4,500 visits, as well as organic searches and direct-to-site visits. 88 would be CT dollars and cents. Again, this is just for Q1. We saw 1,000 visits with over 500 new users, and 90% of the visits came direct to site, which really just means that people have a knowledge of CT dollars and cents and are going there themselves. And then 89 is just what we've been doing lately. So we attended the Money Conference for Women in October, hosted a financial aid night at Rockville High School and Rocky Hill High School. And then we attended 12 high school college fairs that handed out over 600 folders, which had a slew of information about just college prep and other additional resources for them. And then we just continue outreach as best as we can through multiple platforms. Does anybody have any questions?
Shannon, this is Peter. Regarding the Money Conference for Women in October, did Chesla, you or Chesla someone, did we present at that, or were we?
We just had a table there. Okay. They had a couple of great presenters that I connected with, and we kind of connected with YWCA, but we did not present. We just had a table there and had our resources there.
Okay, great. Thank you.
No problem.
Anyone else? Questions for Shannon? All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you much. And Yesenia, scholarship update?
Yes, just a quick update regarding our certificate scholarship. As you know, it is first come, first serve until funds run out. So far we've dispersed 19 scholarships since the opening in July 1st. And we have 9 scholarships on the pipeline, just waiting for those students to register for their classes. And if all of those 9 are dispersed, and that will, we would run out of funds very quickly. So it's been going pretty well. And that's pretty much it. Any questions regarding certificate?
Terry Kelly, I have a question.
Yep.
Yes.
Could you give me a breakdown by institution, where these certificate scholarships have been awarded?
Yeah, so the majority, I would say, is Connecticut State Community Colleges, but specifically Three Rivers is the majority of the scholarships dispersed. They did communicate with me that in order for their programs to continue, they need students to register. So our scholarship really helps them keep their classes going. We have a variety from Goodwin University as well. And then I would say a few from Sacred Heart for the brewing science, and as well as Manchester.
At their next meeting, would it be possible to get a breakdown by institution and the value of all the scholarships awarded and then the outstanding balance? So you think it'll be oversubscribed if these 9 scholarships in the pipeline are fully awarded, then there'll be no remaining funds for the remainder of the year.
Right.
Okay, great.
Right. So the ones that are in the pipeline, their programs won't start until the spring, so like January, February, and we usually don't disperse until they are registered. So I follow up in the spring once they are registered and I can disperse. So I can assume that most likely by like March, then all of those will be dispersed.
No, it sounds like a very exciting program. I'd love to see the information broken down by institution. Is that something possible for our next convening?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Thank you.
So, Carrie, just
for like context. Sorry, go ahead.
Just so we're clear, you'd like it broken down by institution and the dollars flowing to each institution, correct? Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful for me and hopefully the rest of the board as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ksenia, anything else?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that when I mean that they're in the pipeline, that means that these applications have been accepted. We received all the documents. They've gone through the evaluation. But if you look at all of these submitted ones, we have over 20 right now. So it is a very, there's a lot of need for the scholarship, but some students do wait, and it is first come, first serve. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, moving on, we have one more action item for the meeting. It is the meeting schedule for 2024. It's in your meeting packet. I'm hoping that people have taken a look at it. Kara, if it's convenient, could you just put it up on the screen real quickly? There we go. So this was in our meeting packet. It is the proposed board and committee meeting schedule for 2024. It is an action item. So if someone would like to move it, I would appreciate it.
I'll move it. But
thank you, Marty. Is there a second?
Second, Andrew.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt the meetings board and committee meeting schedule as presented. Are there any questions or comments on this?
I will not, Marty Budd, I will not be able to make the March meeting on a Monday. I have a number of other meetings, some of which I chair. So if in fact, if other things come up to move that meeting, I would be happy to attend the move.
Okay. So noted, as we get closer to the date, if there's another option, we will consider it. But I will share with the board that these dates were the result of numerous back and forth and conversation with Jeanette and a few others. And this is where we landed. But I appreciate you sharing the conflict that you've got, Marty. And as we get closer to the March meeting, if there's an option to move it, we will.
Let me ask, why is it at 1 o'clock? I think that's the first meeting of Chancellor in a while that hasn't started at 11:30.
Jeanette, you can take a shot at it, but I think my initial reaction is, very honestly, Marty, I believe that was an accommodation to your chair. And the reason is, I am away the entire previous week. So it would allow Jeanette and I a chance to talk regarding certain agenda items the morning of the 18th. And then when we'd move into the vendor consultant committee meeting, and then the board meeting. That's my recollection. Jeanette, is that your recollection as well?
That is correct. That was the rationale.
Well, what time do you think the board would actually meet? Because I might be able to sneak in if it's the vendor committee meeting at 1. Is that likely to take just a half hour or hour?
Well,
or?
It's actually, as you can see there, Marty, it's the vendor committee's at 12:30 and the board meeting's at 1.
I see.
Peter, this is Bettina. I'm sorry, Marty. Do you have more questions?
No.
Okay. Can you just explain a little bit about the strategic planning session in January 25th? Is that all day? Is that half day?
Yeah. I couldn't touch on that.
Okay, thanks, Jeanette.
The strategic planning session, and I actually should have mentioned this in the executive director's report. So, you know, we're coming up on the end of our 3-year cycle. So we are now gearing up for the next 3-year cycle. And if you recall, you may not recall because you
haven't
been on that long, but the last time we did this, we did a board session of strategic planning that was a joint meeting with the CHESLA board and the chief of board.
Uh-huh.
And so the expectation is it would be, you know, a few hours, you know, 8:30 to 11:30 or noon potentially. You know, the last time we did this, it included board engagement survey aspect, as well as, you know, overview of, you know, industry trends and opportunities and threats, that kind of thing.
Sounds great. So at least a full half day.
Yes.
A good half day.
Yeah, that's the expectation. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, I believe we've got a motion and a second to adopt the board and committee meeting schedule as presented. If there's no other questions, comments, or discussion, all those in favor of the motion to adopt the meeting schedule, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. The schedule is adopted. Is there any other business anyone would like to bring forward? Anything else for the good of the cause? Hearing none, I'd entertain, so everyone knows, our next meeting is January 9th. Given that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Julie.
Thank you. Julie, is there a second?
Bettina, second.
Thank you, Bettina. It's been moved and seconded to adjourn our meeting. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. The motion carries. We are adjourned and we can move into the CSLF meeting in about 1 minute, if that's all right with everyone. Let me just get out my notes.